it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Best hour in radio on planet Earth.
But
four to five every Monday.
Just yes, quickly, Lewis Martin just gave me a tingle and thought, Andy, that's a great idea that you've got. Let's just put the funny stuff on afterwards. So Talking Footy apparently is going to be on before his show coming up. So that's great news.
It's okay.
Great news.
We'll get a bit looser with our ratings.
Nice.
Although, Keith, do you want to talk numbers? Anyway, Monday Matters for core staff specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment. It is a joy to be here. A lot to unpack after another weekend. Who would you rather do it with than Sam Edmund
and
Julian De Stoop?
So good to be here after a round that really mattered. Second most attended in history.
That's right.
So and that was never mattered
more. And that was with 4,000 at one game and 12,000 at another.
433 fans attending games over the Anzac weekend.
Was there only 4,000 in Tassie?
That's right.
Four?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness.
Should we be shocked? They want their own team. They're getting their own team.
They don't want to be shocked.
Well, they got the worst team in the comp going down there.
I understand that, but you'd think down there you've got an audience that doesn't get... You know, they see a decent amount, but not every week.
They've got their own team on the horizon.
Is that right?
That's right.
That's what they're waiting for.
That's right.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
That's right.
It was a phenomenally populated round of football, and they keep... You know, you can argue the toss on fixturing and... The reasons behind this and the reasons behind that, but when they can point to the scoreboard the way they can after a weekend like this, it's kind of hard.
What about the round coming up?
Well, it's huge, staggering. Something
massive.
It's like a rivalry round.
Well, I think it is.
Is it actually?
Well, I don't know if it's officially.
No, but
it's been scheduled like that.
It's certainly got that feel about it. Mm. Righto, Monday Matters. What did to whatever degree it might matter from across the weekend, or did it not? It might be stuff we're talking about that doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Over to you, boss.
Yeah, well, we know I love Hoyney. Great man, Daniel Hoyney.
He's magnificent.
That's the disclaimer.
Hoyney, tomorrow night.
Hoyney, I don't want to care about inside 50s anymore, mate. They don't matter.
Oh, yeah,
the
good
inside
call.
50s do not matter. Don't even look at that stat anymore. Sydney had three more inside 50s than Hawthorn. They won by 12 goals. Melbourne Richmond had 50 inside 50s each, yet the Demons won by 43 points. And on Saturday, Carlton had 21 more inside 50s, yes, lot by 13 points. Mm. The stat doesn't matter anymore. And it's been a trend all year.
Well, it does matter.
We spoke about this earlier in the year. There was the highest percentage of teams, well, the lowest percentage of teams winning inside 50s and then going on to win
the
game.
But it does matter. But efficiency matters more. So you've got to be clean and you've got to make good decisions.
And we're not breaking them down. An inside 50, you can just gets to 49 metres and is intercept marked.
What about contest and clearance? You could fold them in too because Hawthorn won both against Sydney and got absolutely smacked. And Carlton won both against Geelong and got touched up.
I don't want to hear fans, we had our chances. We won the inside 50s by 10. No, doesn't matter. Does it matter?
Well, that doesn't matter. Well, what does matter? Is it the intercept down the other end? Defense? What is the stat that matters then?
I'll tell
score.
You.
I understand that. How do you get
18-10, 118 to 15-15, 105.
Efficiency.
Efficiency.
Right. So that's the number.
That's right.
So right now.
Geelong ruthless.
Right. Okay. Efficiency.
Defending also helps.
So efficiency as in, is that an accumulation of all the different stats or is it just efficiency in kicking or is it a combination of the kicking, handball?
Everything.
Everything, okay.
Everything.
Nice. Let's just be more efficient then.
It is a, it's an unusual game, is it not, to adequately tell a story of
the data.
By looking at stats. I know stats can give you trends and... But based on a lot of the stuff that you just pointed out, this stuff does happen on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, it does.
Where teams have had more scoring shots and
But hang on. But it might be in a particular game. But if you looked across the entire season,
trends are important. Yeah.
This is the trend. Yeah, and we spoke about it 4 weeks ago.
And this is where Horny stuff's really good. Horny jumps on a Tuesday night with the boys after us. He jumps on things that have been developing as trends, and that's when I reckon you really take notice of stuff. Not the one-off kind of. Mm.
Surely it would be rare though, and I'm not sure how rare. But to win inside 50s by 21, to win clearance, and give a team a smashing and contest a ball, these are the things.
You're not
that
losing
come.
Too yeah. many games,
and you lose.
And
it's a complete anomaly. Really looked like winning until a couple of freakish moments at the death.
Total anomaly.
That would have to be rare.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's just that on this particular occasion, as the one-off, it was just the poor kicking. Particularly early on, that cost them so dearly.
Three posters and out in the fall, another miss from 20 directly in front. So maybe it was just bad. And bad kicking's bad.
Joshy Jenkins has been speculating, and they kicked 100 points and lost. And with all those numbers. Yeah, I don't know if that's ever happened before.
No.
Horny or no?
Hey, listen, coach messaging matters. Having your own stats matters more. Mick Malthouse had his internal ladder, famously or infamously. Damien Hardwick has one too. And at halftime, his Gold Coast Suns were allowing West Coast far too many of these. Have a listen to Damien Hardwick's statistic that he holds dear.
I've got this stat called shit goal stat, and we gave him 3. Bip out the language, but, you know, 3 in the second quarter, which was really frustrating. And there was a bit, you know, period of play in the second quarter where there should have been Benny Hill music playing. Like, you know, the MacAndrews holding the ball was like, and those are the sort of plays that we've got to eradicate from our game. And it will come, and we know we're going to give them every now and then, but, you know, against better sides, and don't get me wrong, West Coast are playing some good footy. Had 2 really good wins the last couple of weeks, but they'll punish us even more.
I've just checked with Hoyney just then, and he says the Gold Coast do rate highly on Shizen goals giveaway.
Okay, right.
Is there a trend?
But what constitutes, what was he talking about?
Well, he went into detail around just easy goal giveaways, basically. Goals of their own making, the Gold Coast Suns. They were Shizen.
What's the most Shizen goal you can give away? What's the one where you go, oh, my God.
Well, it's a double
50. It's the intercept that leads to the over-the-top and the run-in slam dunk type.
I'll give you the one.
Open transition.
You have a set shot. So plenty of time to set up, and you kick a point, and the opposition goes all the way down and kicks a goal. That is a Shizen goal. That should never happen. No, not from a set shot.
But I think it's the one where you are in control offensively and you absolutely have a man when you're trying to kick that next one.
That's what he's referring to.
Yeah, I think that's it. When it's unpressured.
Yeah, just a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, I think that's the stuff he's talking
about.
That
leads to an indefensible situation.
Correct.
They are the Shizen.
Or was he talking about Stephen Kernahan goals? Didn't spin properly.
No, I don't think so.
Shizen goal.
No, I don't think he was. Mm. No, he wasn't.
I'm not even going to bite on that.
Hey, following the game plan matters. In that Hawthorn game, clearly Jack Scrimshaw didn't follow the game plan, and Sam Mitchell in the box and at the quarter time break came out and let his player know. And I think in this day and age, there's a limit to how demonstrative you can be and how overt you are to the cameras and to the fans at the game.
A limit, you say?
There is a limit these days, because I don't mind it when you're in the situation that Hawthorn is in and you need to hold people accountable. And sometimes holding that one person accountable so demonstratively can have a rippling effect. But I just err on the side of caution because I liked it. I think in the circumstance it was great. But in the environment that we live in today, I think that that's less acceptable, and it can lead to challenging situations with the relationship that you'll have with the coach when they're going to be so overt with how upset they are with the decision. But clearly, when you're not following the game plan, you have to be entitled to be able to get your message across, or else it's going to be impossible to make improvements.
So you don't want to see the Ken Sheldon, Craig Davenport come down from
the
box.
Well, that's the other
extreme. Come here, brother.
You can't handle your players anymore. Yeah, that went out a long time.
He kicked the winning goal that day.
I understand, but you can't get physical in any circumstance, and that's certainly not a message. But you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
That I don't mind it here.
You can't use it often.
But you've got to be cautious. Now, you might be able to do that and use that same language in a more discreet way, but when it is so overt, it can drive a bit of a wedge with your players. It can.
It can. But aren't you also searching as a coach at a time like this for the players who are with you? They are made of the right stuff. They can deal with whatever comes their way, and they're going to stand up and they're going to cop it.
Some people are made of the right stuff.
I know, so you need to know, right?
That's it. Yep. You've got to know the personality because they won't respond well to that. But if you go privately to them and you give it to them bluntly, your feedback's very blunt and to the point, and you hold them accountable, I think everyone's got to be able to do that. But when it is so
visible.
And public, it can be... In the long term, can cause some problems.
Next 4 weeks really matter for Brisbane. It's season on the line stuff now. They'll be facing all sorts of internal questions if they can't get through the next 4 weeks, winning all of them. They've got Gold Coast at the Gabba, the Crows over at the Adelaide Oval, Richmond at home, and Hawthorn at Marvel. If they can win all four, and they're certainly good enough to win all four, if they can just switch whatever is holding them back at the moment... If they can play four quarters and find something like their best, they win all four, they get to 6-5 by the bye, and then they've got the second half of the season to look forward to.
So we might not know anything about them for another month plus.
Well, I reckon we will. I reckon if they don't...
Oh, you'll be satisfied if they win the next four that they're well and truly...
Oh, sorry. No, no. At least they've given themselves back in the hunt.
A chance. Yeah.
If they go 2-2 the next four, it's ta-da.
Oh, no. Yeah,
I think they've got to win their next four.
To be reconsidered.
They put themselves back in a position to then get to the bye, assess where they're at, and then really load for the second half of the season.
You'd have to say the next two are 50-50.
Oh, right.
Suns and Adelaide and Adelaide.
You're not giving them those as wins under any circumstances.
No way.
They're massive. The next 4 weeks is huge for them.
Similar on the theme of coaches' messages matter, Michael Voss's message post-game mattered. Now, he could have easily said, look, we had our chances today. We blew some opportunities. We did a lot of things well. We've got some personnel issues at the moment, but he didn't. And maybe 12 months he would have. But this is a team that is a premiership contender, should be finishing in the top four. Giving up 113 points, not good enough. And he made that clear. So if I was a Carlton supporter driving home from the game, I'd have loved to have heard that. Mm. This is a coach that's onto this group, and he's not going to let anything slip through the cracks.
Unacceptable, I think, was the terminology that he used.
So there could have been a bit of the old, if I see anyone get a pat on the back here, I'll spew up.
It's the same vein.
It was a good game. It was a really likeable game of footy, and he said that. He said, oh, listen, to you guys, I know you probably think it was a great game of footy. That's not the way we're seeing it here. So,
No, they couldn't defend the ground. I want to ask if this matters, because to be honest, I'm not sure. So no judgment from me. I'm just throwing it out there. Luke Darcy in the commentary box for a Channel 7 game. His son is playing in, but he wasn't a play-by-play commentator. He's actually charged with special comments duties in the game that Sam is playing in, which must have been, I'm not sure, but challenging, to say the least, for Luke to navigate. Does it matter? I've heard of, look, this is not Eddie Maguire commentating Collingwood game. This is a father commentating on his own son. Does it matter?
Oh, I think it does.
Why?
Well, wouldn't it be harder to do special comments than play-by-play with your own son?
No.
But as a special comments, you have to be critical or praiseworthy. As a commentator, you're just calling
neutral.
The game.
No, but
Mark kicks handballs. He's got to say, that wasn't good enough, Sam Darcy, or that was a fantastic edge. He's had a good game, Sam Darcy. I feel sorry for Luke.
Because
I would not want to be in that position.
Can't
Channel 7 just say, Luke, don't do the games with your son? There's only going to be a few.
I think when there is such an obvious conflict that when you're in the media, there are times when you can get special moments. You can get special moments because the emotion of the connection that you can have with the father in the commentary booth, clearly that's what they were looking for. He hasn't done colour commentary for so, so long. Mm. And if they were concerned, they clearly are concerned about it because they didn't have him doing the play-by-play. I think it was one of those ones where you put him in this role. There's an understanding that there will be some challenging times, so there's others there that can cover for him. But there are moments in a game where, as a dad, you can get an insight into a player. You can provide some of the stuff that no one else is going to know about. And that can add to the commentary. Now, if it's on every single time, clearly no. But as a one-off, I don't think they have a problem. And I know that on Triple M games, when Luke's there, that he doesn't do the Triple M game. So this, to me, had all the markings of Channel 7 saying, listen, we're not going to do this every time, but as a one-off, don't call it, but just be a colour guy. You can avoid it if you have to, depending on how the game unfolds. I don't have a problem with it, as if that is in fact the case.
Was his commentary affected?
I didn't think so.
From what I picked up.
I wasn't listening sharp. I was aware of the fact that Das was doing the game with his kid playing, but thereafter I wasn't listening sharply enough to know whether or not I should have said this there, or clearly there was a moment there where he could have. I can't remember a moment. So the only reason it matters is if you give us stuff about the noise that comes with him in there. If you think he's doing a good job, if the employer, Seven, think he's doing a good job, then it really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks, but it does matter if you're worried about keeping all of the howling wolves from the door who want to go on social media after the game and go, "What a joke!" We see it all the time.
Didn't he actually say, "Listen, he's running too close to the mark. He's got to.
Yeah, he did.
So it wasn't like he was avoiding criticism. No.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. There you go. There's an example that where he didn't.
So you think the bosses would have liked the way he went about it?
What's wrong with that?
It's what Darcy is. 4:09. We'll get a break out of the way. Ready for a fulfilling career. Join Core staff, the experts in recruitment solutions. Your future starts here. Monday Matters will continue after this. Sam Edmund, next cab off the rank. I gave you a bum steer before. We've done Sam Edmund's latest, so it's over to you, Andrew.
That's right.
Well, this is an interesting one, and it comes down to I'm unsure about it, and I need your help and feedback.
But ask the question.
To me, resting Harley Reid matters, and when you look at the way in which the game unfolded, and you look at the context of the Eagles, they won what? Seven of their last 2.5 seasons, they've won seven games. And you're in a situation where you're coming off two wins. And I thought, and it proved to be, a winnable game. They were into that game up to their eyeballs. And you think of what could have happened if he had been there. Now, only hindsight will tell. And I'm sure that if things turn around and they look at it and they go, well, we've managed him well, we were able to get the rest, he's a young kid, all those things are important. But right now, to me, as a club that has struggled to find wins...
Hold up. Are you saying they made the wrong call?
I think you're suggesting that.
Yeah, I am.
I just wanted on the record.
You're not suggesting that could have been a different result if Harley Reid played.
I am.
They didn't lose by a point.
No, I know, but the game was a contest. And in a player in that circumstance, you only need a play here, a play there to go to change the nature of that game, and it can have a different outcome.
But he suggested he was struggling physically after last week.
Well, they knew he was.
He was
the
flagging.
Numbers said that they were, and they liked
well,
the symmetry.
Well, internally, that probably is the case. And like I said, in hindsight, it may be proved to be a stroke of genius, but the timing of it all.
But you have to put that to one side, don't you? Because the priority is if the kid needs a rest, you don't want him doing a hammy over on the Gold Coast, and you got the rest of the season to worry about. You have to park whether they're playing the Harlem Globetrotters or they're playing Serena Football Club.
Yeah, so if they were playing Collingwood at the MCG on the weekend, would you have the same point? Or Carlton?
No, I'm saying now this might be poor judgment.
You think they should have played?
Yeah, this might be poor judgment. I'm not saying he doesn't need a rest at all. And maybe with the sports science, they do their deep dive, and maybe this was 100% the absolute call. But for me, and that's why I sort of cautioned my approach. But for me, from the outside, just the timing of it, you're starting to get a bit of momentum. You've got two wins. Here's what I thought was a tough one, but a winnable game. But if he had those issues that you're talking about, well, then it's understandable. But given the context...
I think it was the right decision.
I'd be resting Elliot Yeo next, to be honest. I mean, here's a guy who's had a whole heap of injury troubles. He's flying now, but clubs are increasingly proactive. Get in early before he does an eight-week hammy, or he does a groin again, or whatever it might be. You got to get ahead of the curve, don't you, and give these guys
you
a rest.
You do. If you can see it coming too.
Well, that's right. And that's what I don't. You know, that's why I cautioned what I said. Because you don't. If it's just, well, at the start of the year, we just, regardless of how the kid's going, because by all reports, the kid wanted to play. And if they've just said, well.
The kid will always want to play, though.
After six games, we've predetermined this should be a rest. I think you look at how you're going and the circumstances they've been in, just thought it was an opportunity.
Monday Matters for Core staff, specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment. I'll continue along this theme then. Paddy Dangerfield can't do another hamstring this year. He is still a vital player for this footy team. He is a point of difference. He was as good as any player on the ground in the first half on Saturday night in a high-quality precursor for what finals footy is going to look like. So they need to have Dangerfield out there and firing and confident that he can go at flat knacker the way he does when he's playing his best footy. So to that end, whatever it takes, and there's no guarantees. I mean, we understand he's so finely tuned, and some of these blokes are, and he's got a history. So we understand all of that. There's probably no guarantees. But whatever you can do, and they'll do this because they're the best in the business, Geelong, whatever you can do to give yourself the very best shot at making sure that when we get to September, you've got Paddy Dangerfield in the team with enough footy under his belt to be playing the way he was the other day against Carlton, that is paramount.
Well, they did it well. They did it well 2 years ago, didn't they?
They did.
They got him
and gave him a long spell last year as well to get him to the business end of the season, which unfortunately for them there wasn't one. But it's interesting timing because there's 6 weeks for them until their bye. So I wonder if they'll be tempted to, and it depends on the scan results, not only they'd be privy to that at the moment, but if it is a pretty significant tear, then maybe they'll give him right up until the bye and he won't return until, you give him the six.
You know what, I would just, even if it's a moderate, even if it's a 3-4er, and this might sit uncomfortably with Dangerfield because he wants to probably play every week that he can, but I'd be doing that. I'd be saying, no, go down to Moggs Creek, come to training for the next 3 weeks when you feel the need to. You just rehab it. Go swimming in the ocean, walking in the otways, playing with your kids, do the whatever.
Go fishing.
Whatever you need to do, mate. Mm. But we need you to be.
Yeah, because he was cooked. The losing grand final against Richmond, they learned a lot out of that year.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
on fumes at the end. Yeah. He was humming at the end of 2022 and a fit Danger come September. That's what you, that's what you
his
want.
His power and speed that he still has at his age is quite phenomenal, really. So,
That's a good call. I just want to value add to yours because I had a similar thing. I think managing your players does matter. And we look at Charlie Dixon. Ken Hinckley did say at the start of the year, put it in, writing, we're going to rest this guy at times. He rested him for a big game last week against Collingwood, which, you could think maybe on the run, do we maybe give him an extra week, come over, big game against Collingwood. They didn't play him. How good was he Friday night? 4 goals, looked fresh, played a big role in a low-scoring game. And I saw this yesterday, I think it was, that Mateus Philippou has not missed a game since his debut. Played every game
that
since
is,
round one last
year. In the modern context, that is quite
something.
Is that something.
The best thing for the kid?
We haven't been hurt. He hasn't got injured.
At times, he's... Look, he's a second-year player. He's not going to have great games all the time, of course. But he's looked a bit tired.
That is surprising.
Just every now and then, it's the best thing for him to give him a rest. And that's why I think the Eagles did a really good thing with Ali Reck.
Just a quick extension. While we're talking on superstar veterans like Charles Dixon, having superstars who are healthy again matters. We talked about Yo earlier. Nat Five, wind back the clock like he did, 37 possessions, which is the most he's had in a game for, I think, 4 or 5 years, but 17 clearances as well. That was an unbelievable performance. If he can even go close to replicating that throughout the rest of the year for Fremantle, what does that give him in that engine room? So that was an amazing performance for mine, probably somewhat underrated, I reckon, but for Nat Five to have it 37 times and 17 clearances, outrageous.
Yeah, no doubt. We've got to get to the news. There is a bit of breaking news.
Oh.
Regarding the Hawks, big Marby Orchal, and big is written by our panel operator, has been offered a one-match ban for striking Errol Gordon.
When was that?
Was that the one that got reversed? Yeah.
When Hardwick
kicked
the goal.
Well, it's off the ball. He's in trouble.
There you go. So,
have a spell. Big fella.
have
a spell.
That's what
have a good hard look yourself.
Surely the full
come back bigger and better. Next time.
Full forwards back next week, isn't he, Mitchell?
Knee soreness, wasn't it? Which is not a hamstring.
No. So that's a blow. Monday Matters for core staff, specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment. Get the latest in the newsroom.
Where's our next win coming from?
I don't know. Did you actually spend one of your pennies then?
Carry on.
Thank you very much.
Is he next up?
Nah, I don't think I'll get through this.
Nice work, Nance. 26 minutes to 5. Over to you, Keith. What do you got for us as Monday Matters for core staff continues to roll on?
Just a quick change, and petulant behaviour matters. And I don't know if you guys have been watching any of the NBA finals, but one of the most famous athletes in the world, if not the most famous, LeBron James, in the series against the Denver Nuggets. There was a disputed out-of-bounds call, and LeBron James came from behind, which looked like he tapped the ball out-of-bounds. And Darvin Ham was standing right there, and LeBron James wanted the call to be challenged to go to the review because he said he didn't touch it. Now, from where Darvin Ham was standing, I can clearly see it looked like LeBron James. Now, subsequently, LeBron was right. Didn't. But the petulant stamping of the feet, jumping up and down, screaming and belittling your head coach when you are the most significant player on the team in the league, and the look that that sends to your team, your teammates, and the coach, where you're already struggling for authority because of LeBron James's input. You're already having Anthony Davis question the offensive structure in the post-game press conferences. It was poor. It looked poor. And it matters if you're going to be spoken about as the greatest of all time.
He's gone LeBron again.
That is not the type of behaviour.
I'm trying to tell you this.
We like to see. No, no, he's a star. I love it. I know it sounds.
He gaslights him.
Oh, so you
know, he moonshines him. What are you doing?
Moonshines.
You ghost him.
But so you're saying that was okay what he did?
No.
Trust your player.
What are you saying?
I'm
saying
your player.
You're having another go.
He's right there. He said he didn't touch it. Just trust him.
Now, did you know how many times players have been wrong when they go?
He knows if he's touched it.
They do the little Johnny Travolta dance and they spin their finger around wanting the review and they end up turning out to be wrong.
It's like when the captain of the cricket team trusts the keeper or the bowler with it. We're going upstairs. Just trust them.
And now I also, just to be fair, because Jokic did the same in I think it was the last regular season game. He did almost identical, carried on like a pork chop, but his coach actually
trusted him.
And trusted him. But the fact that you carry on like a pork chop like that.
Not good enough.
Can I play a little game with you? You're done?
Yes.
Play a little game with you three blokes. Mm. Name me the three best ruckmen in the AFL now.
Max Gawn.
Grundy.
Rowan Marshall.
Keep going. You want to add another
Brody Grundy's. Yeah. Brody Grundy's in
right.
there.
No one else. Grundy's
you're going to suggest you're not going to
You're not
going to
throw Tim English in?
No.
You're not going to go with the Carlton French.
No, I'm not. Oh. No. There's another
Jared
one.
Witt.
Thank you.
He was good.
He matters, mate. And no one ever takes any notice of the bloke. And I'm not doing the E's under right. I'm not doing that one right. But no one ever takes any notice of this bloke. He's not particularly athletic. He doesn't kick goals. He doesn't jump high. He's not brutal. But he just gets the job done week in, week out. He's growing with this midfield. This midfield with this ruckman, who's a leader of this footy club. Most people outside of the Gold Coast Suns wouldn't know him if he stood up in their porridge. Has just been doing the job beautifully and building his career magnificently for the last 3 or 4 years. Now, they're outside the eight. If they're going to play finals this year, Jared Witts is going to matter big time. So... I reckon he sits behind Gawn and I think he sits behind Gawn and English as the best three in the competition at the moment, but he hardly raises a mention from anyone.
Lloyd Meek is just my man, Lloyd Meek, just doing okay.
Maybe just let him play.
I'm just saying.
I mean, last year you put the weight of the world on the kid's shoulders and you crushed him.
Never recovered.
Poor old Fergus Green. He's out of the caper because of you.
Have you not watched this?
Just let him play, mate.
And he's doing quite well,
okay,
though.
Okay, that's all you need to say.
Okay.
That's all you need to say.
Hawthorn wins again.
CJ was a superstar. He's hardly played since. Now, you know what doesn't matter? Boundary umpires clearly don't matter when it comes to score reviews.
Now, that umpire
on the weekend with the Jack Henry mark, the boundary umpire was... adamant, straight away, that was marked over the line.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's fine. And then we go to review. Soft call is point.
Point.
Just remember that. Soft call is the point. So umpire's call, that is the point.
Point.
Now we judge it off a replay that was showed the back of Jack Henry and you could not see the football.
No.
The person that was standing right in line with the football was the boundary umpire. How can you overturn that? Where's the conclusive evidence to overturn that decision?
No.
Would have thought seeing the Sharon would be a prerequisite to making it.
It's just terrible. And
seeing it would be handy.
Come on. It was easy. Umpire's decision. Had it there.
On the degrees of probability, it was probably marked on the line, I reckon, or before it completely crossed, I reckon.
Probably.
But when you've got the soft call and the other bloke coming in going,
and he was not hesitant, the boundary umpire.
It was quite surprising. And it feeds further into what Ange Postecoglou said earlier, the grab we played, about, I just give up now. The game's been umpired by somebody who's probably not even in the ground.
Mm.
They're the ones making the decisions that affect the outcome of the game, so... go on.
I was just a bit tickled by this. Humility matters, and I refer to Nick Blakey, to James Rowbottom, ahead of James's 100th, as it was at the MCG on Sunday. He's the lizard.
Hmm.
What you bring to this team, nobody else in the competition can bring. I think together we've had 66 tackles this year. You've had 60, I've had 6.
Now, if you're going to insert yourself, that's fine, but throw yourself on the grenade at the same time. So there's a nice little bit of chemistry going on there at the Sydney Swans, at the moment. Well, I've set him up there nicely.
It was.
I'm happy to debate the point with you, too.
Team unity matters.
Well, yes,
and I think it's not just about internally, but externally, and the way in which you present the team unity is also important. And what we saw with Sam Wicks, now I understand that there's been some challenges throughout the course of the season. He was, I don't know whether the right term was rested or didn't play.
Ask the man that broke the story.
Sam, you broke
removed.
He was removed because of...
Well, there was an altercation with another teammate. Things got a little heated away from the club. He was cleared of any wrongdoing with a player's ex-girlfriend, and he was removed from the group to just simmer down for a bit.
Well, after he kicked his second goal of the game and he ran back, there was no high-fiving. There was no acknowledgement. There was no good kick. There was no well done. Now, it was a little bunny over the top and there wasn't much to it. But even when they went back to get a sip of water... and he was surrounded by some teammates. There was no little fist pump, tap on the tush, anything just to acknowledge that a goal had been scored. There was nothing. Now, apparently the Swans have been asked about it and they said, well, it was just it was a transition goal. They were running hard and they were getting back into their positions. But it's hard, given the circumstances of the reports we heard a couple of weeks ago as to why he was not playing, to think that there is not more to this. And if there is not that team unity there, that is something that needs to be addressed and managed, because it can drive a division in the team, and it can, not always, but it can be the difference when you're talking about the fine lines at the uber elite top level of the difference between a margins of error is so small.
It's going to cost them a premiership.
No, but it can as far as that team.
You were going so well.
It can have an impact.
Would it be stressing John Longmire out, do you think? Has he got a decision to make?
Well, sure, he's looking at that and going, well, that's not the way we want to celebrate other people when they score.
Luke Parker had 40 in the twos on the weekend.
So his first goal, he kicked the first goal of the game,
Sam.
There
was a couple of high fives.
And there was seven high fives.
Was there seven?
They came from everywhere.
Seven.
I counted them.
But didn't you see that? I did see that as well. But didn't it sort of catch
you? He was 60 metres out the back on a fast break. They're up by 40 or 50 points already. I reckon they just thought, yeah, we're rolling on here.
So the coach not too worried?
Absolutely nothing in it, you don't think?
I'm not saying he's going to win Best Teammate of the Year award, but I'm not sure they're raging.
So this was totally irrelevant.
17 minutes to 5.
Wouldn't be burning the candle at both ends.
No, I just want to know, was it totally irrelevant? Because I'm only judging in it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything there.
Perfect then.
My very humble opinion.
17 minutes to 5. Monday matters for Core Staff. Unlock your potential. The trusted name in recruitment is Core Staff. Discover rewarding career opportunities today. Just a quick one, Julio. Following up from yours for Core Staff. From earlier, where the goal umpire and the boundary umpire saw what the video, the bloke up in the arc, didn't see. And this is not reviewable. But I'll tell you what does matter. There's a rule in the book. And Jared Healy, I'm sure, will be mentioning this after 5:30 with you, Sam, at some stage on Sports Day tonight. But there's an old rule in the game called pushing in the back.
Oh, I've got it here too. Go on.
Well, go.
No, you go. What's happened to it?
It just matters that umpires know what pushing the back actually is.
So does the rule still matter is probably the question.
Well, it should, because it gives the bloke who's perched behind a grossly unfair advantage.
Talk some specifics with me, please.
Well, Ollie Henry definitely pushed Lewis Young in the back. I mean, he extended his arms. It was the classic push in the back.
There was one yesterday, I reckon, Hayden McLean on Jack Scrimshaw.
Oh, I saw it. It was terrible.
So there's been a few across the week.
It was terrible.
So I think the way the rule is written is no longer... So they did away with hands in the back because you're allowed to hold your position.
Hold is fine.
But that asks a lot of the umpire sometimes. Is he holding his position or is he pushing? It's like...
Well, it's hard. You know what else makes it hard? Is that there's a lot of flopping.
True.
So that does make it hard on the umpires to judge. Well, how much have they exaggerated the contact?
But then some are obvious.
Some are very clear cut.
Push in the back.
Scuffing non-decision. It matters that Adelaide and Port Adelaide are playing in prime time. That matters.
Standalone.
These games have too often been shoved away up against another game on a Saturday night or the Saturday twilight shot. It should be on prime time more often. These games are always great. Port are wounded. Adelaide's playing better. It should be another cracker. I just hope my hunch that people love these games, no matter who you barrack for or what state you're in, will reflect in the numbers come Thursday night.
Yeah, it'll be a good TV audience, I reckon.
Little quick one here. I reckon the turf matters, given it's the canvas that the players do their artistry on. And what is going on with the grass at Optus Stadium, I ask you. Now, the turf is actually getting worse over there after the summer concerts, not better. It was like a patchwork quilt over there. What is going on with the turf?
I don't know. You need to have a good walk on it. They feel like they're cut too tight in there. Ground's around the joint full stop, I reckon. Ask a lot of players to keep their feet.
Anyhow, just a thought.
Live Golf matters. Take that back. Live Golf is starting to matter. I think it's always going to take some time. They've spent a truckload of money on some of the greatest golfers in the world at the moment coming on board. But I watched mostly on Saturday. I watched it for a long period on Saturday. And the excitement, the buzz to see that many people turning out for a golf tournament here in Australia.
Record.
Yes, they might have gone a little overboard from time to time when they're throwing the cups and the full bottle of water is not the way to go about it. It could hit one of the players and hurt them. But a lot of the times it was the players inciting the fans.
They seem to like it.
And wanting them to get involved. But it was entertaining. I thought the coverage was really well done. They were bouncing around. You always have those players that you just want to see. You have your personal interest that you want to see a little bit more. But overall, I thought Live Golf was great. And if they can continue to replicate that on all their tournaments throughout the world, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some, you know, get the broadcast numbers. But what I saw was encouraging, and the fact that they've also decided to invest in Australian youth golf. They're putting some money, not just in the players, but starting to invest in the development of Australian golf. Sure as hell, the other organisations that had the power did nothing for Australian golf, so good on Liv.
Essendon on Saturday night over in Perth matter. If you're going to be a decent team this year, Essendon, and some of us think you will be, some of us think you're going to play finals footy, don't go over there on Saturday night and lose. It's the West Coast Eagles. You should put them away. I know they'll bring the kid back and there'll be a lot of excitement. There'll be a big crowd. But do not go over there on Saturday night and get beaten. It matters that you win.
Couldn't
you
agree more.
It doesn't matter how much you win by. It matters that you win.
Correct. Just quickly, Zach Guthrie matters. I think a lot of people weren't sure whether he would become a really good AFL player or not. The last six quarters, they'd lost Tom Stewart. Zach Guthrie's turned into Tom Stewart and was amazing again on the weekend.
Superb.
I'm not just saying this because it's ours, because it is an absolute game changer. SEN Stadium matters like never before. I've given it around the last few weeks. It is seamless. The switch to not relying on the wireless in the stadium is an absolute godsend. And it's been unbelievable. As I say, used it last few weeks in real time, no interruptions. One ear in on that, one ear on the crowd, so you get the Atmos as well. And you don't miss a single thing. And I can hear Andy in real time.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
It's amazing.
Spread the word, download the app, go to stadiums, push SEN Stadium. Jeez, the feedback we're getting is remarkable. So from
don't forget the 4 and 20 menu tonight, Sports Day. Off the top, Rory Sloane.
Oh, outstanding. Ah, well, great work. That's really magnificent. That's another issue of Monday Matters done. We'll be back next week to do it all again. For Core Staff, specialists in labour hire and permanent recruitment.